the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we've invited Brent Henderson to join the call. Brent's a speaker and author, does a lot of different men's ministry and is a hunter. So thanks for joining us, Brent.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your ministry? What's it look like? What do you do?
Well, I'm short, kind of tall, fat, kind of skinny, long hair, no beard. you know, I've been in men's ministry for a long time. I toured in Christian music for quite a while, probably 30 years. And God just moved me into doing men's ministry. So it was something I grew up with, you know, loving the outdoors and God being able to say, I want you to use that venue to reach a lot of guys that would never darken the door of a church. So he kind of moved me from my roots of, you know, in Christian music. My mom was the choir director in the church where I grew up, but he kind of moved me back to what I love. And that is, I love the outdoors. I love nature. To me, God just pops. He comes alive out there. And I know he does to a lot of guys. So that became a tool to reach guys.
That's awesome. Yeah, you started to tell us before this recording about a story where you were out in the wilderness that was kind of wild with a bear. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. You know, I had a couple of the last 2 years. Last year, I had a bear charge me after I was bow hunting and shot one at 32 yards at the edge of a field, and he charged me full charge. But I had camo on, and I just didn't move, and he ran within 3 feet of me and kept going before he dumped. But that may seem spooky, but it happened so fast. The story we're talking about, I was back in the mountains of Colorado, and I had a blind set up in an area where there was a fresh water spring, and I let it sit all week long. I thought, you know, maybe the last day I'll hunt that blind, because I'm not usually hunting blind with elk. I'm on the move and I'm calling and stalking and stuff. And I had a 30-06, my rifle, with me. Now, my sponsorships in the outdoor industry are all through archery, through using bow. But I took a rifle along because a lot of times on the last day, we'll put targets out there, you know, like at 500 yards and see who can hit them, 600 and 700. So I had it with me. And the final morning of the hunt, I had decided to go back to this blind that I had set up over the spring. And as I'm out there on the porch getting ready, the other guys that were with me, they're getting ready to leave and they're going, why are you hesitating? You're usually like the first guy gone. And I said, believe it or not, I think I'm having an argument with the Holy Spirit right now. And they go, what? I feel like God's telling me to take my gun with me. Now, I had a tag where I could use a gun or bow, like I said, but it doesn't do me any good to use rifle with these sponsorships. So finally, God won. I took the rifle along with my bow. And I had about a mile hike to get to where I was headed. And three times the trail splits. And each time you want to go left on this trail because the left side, or you want to go right because the left side is all overgrown and shale rock and it's steeper and twists. And each time when I would get to this little fork in this path, I would feel God say to me, I want you to go to the left. And I remember the first time hearing that and going, okay, God, I've been hunting a long time, you know, just arguing. I'm getting my attitudes getting in the way and the ego. And he said, do you trust me? And I'm going, seriously? Okay, so I go to the left. Next split, I hear the voice, I want you to go left. And I'm thinking, okay. All right, yeah, I trust you. Third time, I got there and I said, I know, you want me to go left. I was laughing under my breath. But it's starting to get light out, which if you know, if you're out hunting, you want to be there pretty much settled in before light, you know, because when they're going to be moving. But when I walk up to the blind I had set up, I noticed, I mean, it was flattened. And my elk decoy that I had tucked inside of it was taken out and chewed up and tossed off to the side. My chair was tossed off. My self-control bottle had big teeth marks. And then I look in front of the blind And it was about 38 degrees, something that morning. And there was a still steaming pile of bear dung right in front of me.
Whew.
Going, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have any hair to stand up, but it was one of those things if you did, you would have felt it.
Wow.
So I get in the back of the blind and I'm putting the hubs back together and trying to make this thing work. Lay my rifle down, put my bow down. And as I'm putting this together, I'm texting a buddy of mine back in Parker, Colorado. And he's laughing at me, you know, going, I guess this bear didn't like you very much, you know. And I'm going, yeah, great. I wonder where he's at, you know. And all of a sudden, there's a minute break in the text. And what had happened was, is I'm putting the window up, what's left of it, it was torn, to see if I can get a window to look out. The bear sees me, and he's coming straight across at me. Now, this is only a small area. It's only about 15, 20 yards across in this little place, and he's coming right at me. I had no time to knock an arrow, and a broadhead, obviously, at that distance, at that quick, wasn't going to do anything except take them off. And so I literally had to just grab my rifle, pulled it up. And when I pulled it up, the scope, it was just fur. And I pulled the trigger, dumped him on the spot, pancaked him right on the spot.
Hey, luckily you had a good shot. Cause if you're seeing, I mean, all fur, that guy's getting pretty close to you.
Oh, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's first, like I just squeezed cause I knew it was going to be on me in a second. And it took me a minute, and I sat there looking at this bear through the window, and it's getting light. And then this started to happen. You know, my hands are beginning to shake, and I'm realizing what could have just happened. And then it began to dawn on me, if I wouldn't have had that rifle with me, this would have turned out a lot different.
Mm.
And so in my new book, you and I were talking about this earlier. I talk about this story and I talk about, sorry, let me turn my ringer off here. And I talk about, you know, learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the Holy Spirit, you know, he'll bring out verses and different things, but there are times when the Holy Spirit, you know, is guiding us. We think about having a guide in the hunting world. And that morning he was my guide and he was my protector, my covering. So what an awesome, you know, now it's awesome in the moment.
Right.
A perfect illustration of who God is and who God desires to be in our life. And you guys probably just heard Brent mention that he's got a new book coming out. It's called The Roar Within, and it's launching on May 11th, which I believe will be the day that this podcast is going live. So be sure to check that out. It's going to be available, I would imagine, in all the various places that we would normally buy books, right?
Yeah, you can get it through Baker Bookhouse, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a lot of places, yeah.
Sweet. So what is the book about? What's the thrust of it?
Yeah, the title is called The Roar Within, and the subtitle is Unleashing the Powerful Truth of Who You Really Are. So I'll just give away, you know, kind of where we're headed with this. The Roar Within is really talking about where do we get our strength from? I was thinking about Samson. We were doing this in a leadership team meeting the other night. When you think of Samson, when he did these incredible things, it happened when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Yeah.
Not because of his superhuman strength or his hair being long, but it says the Holy Spirit came upon him. And if we could learn to understand, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up, you know, there was a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was like, you know what? You better sit in the back row in church and be quiet, keep your hands to yourself. We didn't know what to do with
it. Yeah.
But the more I began to understand imputed righteousness, that the moment that I truly believe that God put his promised Holy Spirit in me, that's my one true identity, not how big our muscles are, what kind of a car we drive, or what kind of an animal we shot, or how much education we have. And those are the things that we tend to lean on to try to find our worth and value from. I know in the book I talk about the big lie, which simply says that my performance plus others' opinions equals my worth and value. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because my worth and value will never have anything to do with those things. My worth and value has everything to do with Christ who is in me. And so the Roar Within is really about helping us discover that, maybe to restore it if we've forgotten who we really are, because maybe something in our past or, you know, shame, condemnation, it can quiet that roar. We feel like we're not good enough, and we're feeling like we're not good enough because we're trying to get our worth and value from the wrong place. And we really don't trust that God said, hey, when I took your sin away, he's like going, what sin? And we're saying, yeah, don't you remember? He's going, excuse me? And that's so hard to grasp to know that when God took our sin, he took it all.
Yeah,
once
right.
All. So the roar within is about, you know, discovering it, getting back on our feet, and then living out of that place. What's really cool is last year when COVID happened, the book had been finished. But there was something that was in, there were some underpinnings, and Baker felt it too. They go, there seems like there's something more that you could be saying with this. And I go, I know. Let me sit on this. In Africa, you know, you have the big five, you know, lion, leopard, rhino, all that kind of stuff. So I, in a private group I have called Dangerous Men on Facebook, I said to these guys, I want you to give me the big five man killers that you deal with, meaning unhealthy emotions like lack of purpose, disrespect, shame, you know, fear, all that. And I gave about 15 or 20 of these, and the top five in order came through as number one was lack of purpose. I thought, honestly, I thought it would be disrespect.
Yeah.
But it was lack of purpose was number one. Lack of respect was number two. Anger was number three. I think we can all attest. We can have that feeling of anger on the surface.
Absolutely.
Somebody cuts us off in traffic. Number four was lust, which I figured that would make the list. And then number five was shame. And so five new chapters ended up being written for this.
Wow.
And they ended up becoming one of the main things, themes of the book is these big five man killers that all men have to deal with. And then how does that roar within when we learn to live out of that, defeat these things?
Right. It seems like I haven't lived for very long, but the longer I live, the more I realize that our identity informs our values. It informs what we do and who we are and all of that. Sorry, I had a call come through and I was getting distracted, but like when we function out of our identity in Christ, that's going to change how we act. It's going to change what we say. It's going to change how we view difficult situations or great situations. Like this core identity, this roar within, I think is crucial.
Yeah. When I'm working with men, one of the things I always say is I'll give them like four different steps. I hate to call them steps, but we'll just use that. I'll say, guys, I want you to identify the unhealthy emotion that you're struggling with right now. And how do we know that that emotion is unhealthy? And this is something I wish I'd have known when I was younger. We know that that emotion is unhealthy because it lines up with the deeds of the flesh. Lust, anger, rage, jealousy, you know, all those things. And I want them to write it down, identify those things. Because, see, if those emotions were healthy, they would line up with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, joy, gentleness, kindness, faith, all that stuff. And then I have them identify what thought are you thinking that's making that emotion? Because you don't just have an emotion. It doesn't just – you have to have a thought creating it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I'll have them do is I'll say, I want you to write down what does God say about that thought. I was working with a pastor who had an affair, and he mentioned he was feeling shame and condemnation. That was the unhealthy emotion. And I said, so what are you thinking? He says, what is everybody else thinking about me that knew about my affair 5 years ago? And I said, all right, what does God say about that?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even want to answer me because he was feeling that shame and condemnation so heavy.
Mm.
And he said, Brent, I had an affair. I said, yeah, I know that. I said, what does God say in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I said, what does he say in Psalm 103? He's cast my sins where?
Yeah.
As far as the east is from the west. And I said, now, I want you to renew your mind with these truths that we were identifying. But if you don't do number four, which is renew your mind with those, nothing is going to change.
Mm.
You can look at the emotion. You can identify the thought. You can look at the scriptures. But if you don't renew your mind, like Romans 12 talks about, you know, that we are to be transformed by the renewing. God does the transformation. Our job is just to do the renewing because I can't transform myself.
Yeah.
So what you were talking about, this core thing, where do our emotions and everything play into this? Well, those are kind of the flags saying, hey, hold on. You need to renew your mind because something here isn't right. And then how are we with emotions? We don't like to talk about them.
Brent, what do you think renewing your mind looks like? How would you go about that? If somebody's listening and they say, hey, that's awesome. I want to do that. Now what?
Yeah, I mean, renewing your mind, like I just said, I mean, that's a real simple way. First of all, identify the unhealthy emotion. What are you feeling right now? Is it anger? Is it lust? Is it jealousy? Is it rage? What is it? And then you have to sit down and go, okay, what am I thinking that's making me feel that way? Because there's a lie twisted in with that thought. So you have to figure out, is it a should statement? Well, I should be further along in my walk by now. I shouldn't have done this thing over here. Well, here's the deal for anyone who's listening. Whatever that unhealthy action is that you did that because of your story. And it comes down to what you believe, because if you don't trust God yet and you're not able to live in that trust, it makes total sense why you're acting the way you're acting. Total sense. You should be acting that way. We call those should statements. It doesn't mean that it's healthy or right, but you're not there yet in order to be able to trust God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then you go back to the truth. What does God say about that? You can Google stuff. What does God say about, I was Googling something this morning about someone who was struggling with potential cancer. Mm. You know, what is a good scripture verse to be able to help them through that? You know, that fear, you know, there's a healthy fear and there's an unhealthy fear. There's a healthy anger and there's an unhealthy anger. If your kid's going to run out in the street, you better have a healthy fear, because that's what's going to cause you to run out and get them. Or a righteous anger. But you've got to identify, you know, or is it a what we would call like a never or always statement? I'll never be good enough. Well, is that really true? Yeah. Well, I guess sometimes I feel like I am, but some you see how it starts to close real quick.
Yeah, right.
And so you begin to renew your mind with, you know what? I have everything I will ever need in Christ. I'm 100% righteous because of him. I'm 100% complete in him. I'm desired, I'm loved, I'm cherished, I'm pursued.
Right.
And then renew your mind with that. If you have to stick that renewal thing you're writing down or whatever to your forehead, whatever you got to do. But you got to keep that in front of you, because that's what transforms you.
Right. And I think that there's this active role that God plays in renewing our mind, right? It's not just something that we kind of like dig deep. I mean, there is this like what you're saying, identifying it and digging deep and looking into what is really going on here, but also recognizing that the Holy Spirit is alive. Jesus is alive. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's not dead. He's alive, which means that he can engage us in this process. And I know that I've continually prayed, Lord, please allow me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And sometimes I don't always understand what that means, but I know that he is willing to engage me in that. And I've experienced him changing my thoughts and feelings about certain things just by asking him to intervene.
You know, one of the things that I say at the end of church services is I'll come up and I'll say, my prayer this week is that you would begin to trust that God is who he says he is, and that you would begin to trust that you are who he says you are. Because until we can trust that, we're stuck.
Yeah.
We're going to rely on the flesh and go back to those things to try to appease the flesh, to make ourselves feel better for the moment. And sin always has an immediate payoff. That's why it's so attractive.
Right.
That's what the enemy tries to get us to go, and then we feel even worse about ourselves. So
it reminds me of a illustration I heard from a pastor recently of the gospel ladder. So you've got four steps of this ladder. At the top is who God is. The next one down is what God does. Underneath that is who I am. And then underneath that is what I do. And if you have the true gospel, it starts at the top and goes to the bottom. But often we like to start at the bottom and try to work our way to the top. Okay, like you're saying, what I'm doing is going to be what my significance is. And well, like this pastor, I just had an affair. So obviously, based on what I just did, I'm a wreck. I have no value. I have no purpose. All of these things that you're talking about. And I'm curious, Brent. So I think of these top five man killers that you mentioned, some of them make perfect sense, like anger and lust and these things that you've mentioned, purpose. When it comes to disrespect, can you unpack that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Let me give you an example of how these might snowball. When you think about it, man, let's look at COVID, for instance. We were hoping that we're done with the masks and we can get back to stuff in life. And I'll run it through a lens, even of my own lens. You know, my speaking events as of about March 14th of last year all went bye-bye, all gone.
Yep.
And that's how I make a living. And so all of a sudden, here I am. My last book had come out 2 years before. And because of that, now my speaking events had really built up to where I'm going, this is what I was praying for. This is what we've hoped for. You know, not only are we getting the message out, but it's meeting our financial needs. And then COVID hits. And I'm like, what do I do now? My speaking events all just got canceled. God, do you not know that you're the one that said you gave me this purpose? Why would you let this happen? And so the flesh begins to start going through all this stuff. And then I started feeling like, well, if I'm not working, my wife's not going to respect me the way she used to respect me because I'm not bringing in the income. And so I start feeling that disrespect. Maybe when she would have fear and she'd say, well, maybe you should go get a job in a factory. And then I'm going, wait a second, I'm called to be in ministry. So you start feeling disrespected. Like, do you not know what God's doing here? You know, you begin to feel angry because you feel like maybe she's not trusting God or she's not trusting that you're going to be the provider. I mean, you can see how these things all begin to snowball. They all pile on top. And with men, many times, if we don't feel good, you know, one of the things that a lot of guys will go to is they'll go to pornography. They'll go to, it's lusting. Because they're feeling so bad about their life, they try to find that immediate payoff to make themselves feel better. It could be food. It could be whatever. And then what ends up happening is after a man has looked at that or he's overeaten or he's gotten angry, whatever, he feels the shame. And then rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. It's a horrible, desperate cycle of trying to meet needs that only God can meet.
Yeah.
And trying to establish satisfaction that only Jesus can establish. And it you're so right. You're dead on. It keeps going back to our identity. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we? And if we're redeemed and loved and cared for, it makes all the difference. Because when you're I can just tell you from my an example in my marriage. So I've always struggled with feelings of inadequacy from a young age, got bullied, all that stuff. And then met my wife, and my wife is just an encourager. She's a woman who loves to breathe life. And it's amazing how just being around her increased my view of myself, because she was constantly saying, hey, I just love this about you, or hey, this is amazing that you do this, or like, she's just a wonderful woman. And it changed how I viewed myself. It changed my confidence level. It changed all of those things. And I didn't feel the need to be this awkward kid who tries to get attention in strange ways, because now my wife was seeing me and caring for me and loving me. And I think our identity in Christ is really similar.
Here's why that's so important. If my worth and value has anything to do with what you think about me, I will try to manipulate you 100% of the time to get my needs met.
Yeah.
And here's a twist on that. If my worth and value has anything to do with what you think about me, I will allow you to manipulate me 100% of the time to get my needs met. And the thing is, whenever we give someone else power to make us feel really good about ourselves, we've also given them the power to make us feel really bad about ourselves. That's why identity is core to all of this. Because when who I am flows out of the Christ in me, the Holy Spirit within me, do I have to have someone else's approval of me? Their words, we all know encouragement is important, but right. Do I have to have it to know who I really am? No. So if I would have had to have gotten a factory job, I had to come down to settle that in my own mind. My worth and value wouldn't have changed one bit.
It's true. It's not based on what we do. It's based upon this inherent value that you are a child of the living God.
Yeah. Yep. It's powerful.
What, Brent, what would you say would be the impact of this? What have you seen in men's lives being transformed, their minds are being renewed? They're walking this out, combating Satan's lies, killing the man killers, you could say. What happens when they start doing that? Like, cast a vision for us, for those listening.
Yeah, boy, this just happened, and this is powerful. I was sitting in Panera Bread. I go there to write a lot. You know, I'll get a good cup of coffee, and I'll get my computer out, and I'll be working. And I saw a guy who'd been coming in there for months. And, you know, he was a real tall guy, probably late 50s. And every time he would come in, he was talking less and less. He was being more and more hunched over, and he would just kind of get in and then disappear rather than, hey, how's it going? You know, and finally he was sitting in the corner, and there's a woman's pastor from our town. She came over to me and she said, hey, and we'll just call him John. That's not his name. We'll call him John.
Yeah.
She said, would you come over and pray with John? He's really struggling. And I said, yeah. So I went over there and I said, hey, man, it's good to see you. And I said, so what's going on? And he said, well, she came over to get you so we could pray. You know, I'm really struggling. And I said, well, before we pray, would you let me do something with you? And he said, like, what? And I said, so I got a piece of paper out and a pen. And I drew a triangle, and in the boxes within the triangle, it says beliefs, thoughts, emotions, and actions. I said, I want you to tell me, what are the emotions you're experiencing right now? He said, man, I'm feeling worthless. He says, I'm ashamed. I lost my job as a professor. And with COVID and everything, he goes, and now I'm getting older. I don't think anyone's got to hire me. So, okay, let's put fear in here, doubt in here, worry in here. I said, let's look at your actions now. What's going on with your actions? And he was embarrassed, but he says, you know, I've been drinking pretty heavy, trying to deal with it, because I don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. He says, my wife and I are split up. He had been looking at pornography, you know, trying to make himself feel better for whatever. And I said, all right, what about your energies? Are you out looking for a job? And he goes, no, I'm pretty lethargic right now. And I said, yeah, I've kind of noticed that when you come in. And I said, all right, so what are the thoughts that are hitting you? And he said, I may never get another job like I had before. And if I do, I might have to sell my house. I might have to sell my car. I might lose my marriage. I said, all right. So I wrote those down. But then where it says beliefs at the bottom, I said, what are you believing right now? And he began to cry. And he says, my beliefs are, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
I said, all right. So I began to renew his mind with who he really is in Christ. We began to talk about that. And he was a believer. He'd been, you know, struggling with his beliefs. And I said, all right, so let's go back over to the belief on the opposite side now. I said, what if it's no longer, I'm not good enough? What if now I say, my good enough comes from Christ being in me? Mm-hmm. What happens to your thoughts? He says, wow. He said, that totally begins to transform. I don't have to succeed anymore to find my good enough. And I said, now what happens to your emotions? He goes, I guess I could find joy and some peace maybe. And I said, and what happens to your actions? I wouldn't need to drink. I'd be out looking for a job. Yeah. I mean, look at what happened. We identified what he was going through, renewed his mind with who he really is and where his good enough comes from, and everything changed.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Hopefully, you can experience that same kind of freedom if you haven't already. Check out Brent's book, The Roar Within. It's going to be available, like I said, May 11th, which I think is the day that this podcast is going live. So be sure to check that out.
Yeah, Brent, before we wrap up, I'd love to just ask, I'm really curious, and I think others might like to hear this as well. Your book description, you say, it takes men on a journey to some of the most dangerous and deadly places on earth, of course, weaving in biblical truths to combat Satan's lies. We've talked a lot about those biblical truths and combating the lies. What are some of these places on earth that you take guys on the journey in this book?
Everything from Africa to Alaska, you know, catching a black mamba by hand to being charged by brown bears. I mean, just dumb stuff. Here's one of the
black mamba by hand, man. You've got me on that. I've spent a lot of time in Asia and Africa, and the black mamba. You don't mess, man.
Dumb. it made now for a great story, but back then, you know, if you get hammered by a black mamba, you got 10 minutes on a good side, 30 minutes, or you know, on the bad side, and there's no anti-venom unless you're close.
Yeah.
And it's a dumb story, but anyhow. It happened. It's over with. I'm still here. Thank God. But here's a really cool thing. Let me just kind of end with this. So at the very beginning in the intro, one of the quotes I have in the book says, oh, the power revealed the moment the lion cub roared and understood who he really was. And I'm in a little place called Balule in Kruger National Park, if you've ever been down there at all. And I'm camped in a little place, and it's chain link fence over about an acre of property. And as I'm cooking, you know, raw meat over a campfire, it's dark out. And I'm looking through this chain link fence, which is about maybe 12, 15 feet away from me. And I see about 3 feet off the ground, these yellow eyes just staring at me. And I'm not sure what I'm looking at until eventually it gets a little closer. And this hyena comes up and he marks his territory, big spotted hyena. And so my buddy looks at me and he goes, what are you going to do about that? I said, well, I'm going to go mark my territory. So I walk down. There's nobody else around. So I go down and I mark my territory. And we get a good laugh out of it. Well, the hyena comes back and he marks his territory on my territory. What are you going to do? And I go, I saved a little bit. So I walked into my mother's territory again, right? And as I sit back down, we're watching to see what this hyena is going to do next. And in the distance, you hear this, mwah, mwah. And if you've heard lions at night when they roar, you can hear them four miles away. You got to go. And that hyena, you got to see it get nervous, put its tail down, got in the bush, and it was gone. Because it knows the power of a full-grown male lion. Mm. And that is the roar within. When we discover that place within us, the enemy, Jesus never bows to the enemy. And a lion never bows to a hyena. I mean, just powerful illustration to start the book off with.
Yeah, so. Wow, that's huge. And I think a scripture that we could walk away with from that is the proverb that says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I think if we were to discover that roar within, like you're talking about, we might walk in the boldness of Christ and what he has for the purpose in each of our lives.
Yeah, amen.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast, Brent. It was wonderful being able to chat with you.
Brent, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what can they do?
You can go to men, not men's, but menministry.org. You can also email me at huntingtruth and then the number two, huntingtruth2@gmail.com.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, be sure to reach out to Brent if you have any more questions, or maybe you want to book him for your event. That would be pretty awesome. And be sure to pick up his book, The Roar Within.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Brent. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. God bless you. We'll see you next time.